I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello and happy Friday. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
We talked about Charles Francis Hall.
Yeah.
His accomplishments actually get overshadowed by all of the weirdness. Because he did, you know, make a record in there.
Yeah.
And he did some interesting things. But also, he seems like maybe really paranoid to me.
Right. And I do feel like a lot of his accomplishments were really the work of indigenous guides.
Oh, yeah.
Not really things he could take sole credit for. You and I had a conversation while you were working on this where you were like, Have we talked about this before?
I know. I was like halfway done with writing it. And I was like, did I really waste a lot of time here? I checked before, but I just like had that moment of deep self-doubt where I was like, uh-oh, SpaghettiOs. Did I just completely tank my week? What have I done?
Well, and I went and searched through my folder. And the only reference I found to him in all of my stuff is in a footnote of an article about John Cleve Sims, who was the person who thought that the earth was hollow, who we did an episode about.
Oh, yeah.
A couple years ago. So I was like, it was a thing where like there was just his name came up in the text somewhere and his name was in the footnotes, mm-hmm. you know, in a source about whatever that one sentence was. And it didn't get into a lot of detail, but I was like, was he also into this idea that the earth was made of hollow concentric rings?
Not to the best of my knowledge, but yeah. One never knows.
I don't know.
We talked about the Patrick Coleman incident where mm-hmm. he shot a man because he became paranoid. And what really kind of upholds that is that there were some of the whalers that were involved in that moment who later, many years later, like decades later, gave statements where they were like, all those guys were really young and he could have easily, like they totally needed somebody to lead them. He could have probably controlled them pretty easily. Mm-hmm. This doesn't make sense that he thinks that they were secretly conspiring against him.
Right.
There is another theory about it that's kind of interesting. And it also evidences his own obsession with being like this hero in finding the Franklin expedition.
Uh-huh.
Because there's another story, and I didn't include it here because it gets really off the path and becomes its own thing, where while he was away at one point, like doing one of his sledge things, and remember, this is his second expedition, not his ultimate one where he mm-hmm. passed, where he was killed, that while he was away, some of the local indigenous people mentioned that there was a tomb nearby and kind of like the the pieces were coming together that this may have been actually a tomb made for Franklin when he died.
Mm.
That the survivors actually tried to encase him in something like stone and give him, like, you know, the send off that his level in their group would have merited.
Mm-hmm.
And that these younger men got really excited about it because they had been taken up by Hall's excitement, and they had tried to get those people to tell another group of locals what they knew so that that could be relayed to Hall when he got back, and that he may have gotten angry that they thought that they were going to be directing how this thing went. Like, his perception was that that stepped on his toes.
Uh-huh.
And that that may have gotten him angry because he was apparently kind of territorial about this whole thing. So, like, I really wish I could time travel and talk to Inspector Smith and be like, are you legit and above board, or are you one of those dudes who sees yourself in another dude and protects him?
Mm-hmm.
I have so many questions about all of these people. But it is interesting that he was like, exhume the body, there's something up. And then when the body was exhumed, there had clearly been something up.
Definitely arsenic.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty interesting to me. You know, having worked on Criminalia for a while now, our whole first season was about poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
And arsenic was like, we joked that it was the star of the show because it came up so often. And we had even talked to Deborah Blum at the end of that season about arsenic and all of, I did not include all the gory details of what happens to a person when they have arsenic poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't cute. And all of that was happening to Hall. So, like, anybody who kind of knew.
Right.
But the problem with arsenic historically was that it went unnoticed for a lot of cases because it also mimics things like other, like a lot of other diseases where it's perfectly like, yes, of course he had a stroke. Look at what's happening. And it's like,
yeah.
No.
Because it was used medicinally for so many things, I can also imagine a scenario where somebody was trying to treat their own problem.
Yeah.
And not knowing what they were doing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, this was also a time when patent medicines might have been in those medical kits as like, as though they were perfectly fine things to be administering. And those were not regulated and could have had any amount of anything in it. So it could have been completely accidental or it could have been not. The other thing that I find myself ruminating over in all of this is Marianne Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't hear much about her. You know, her husband was gone all the time.
Right.
I do know that she got a payout from the government at the conclusion of the Navy Board hearing. Like, basically, his salary that he was supposed to collect for that mission, she got. But that's kind of it. We don't know much else about her life. If it's notated somewhere, it may be, but I did not come across it in my research. And of course, that may have just been because my research was focused on the expedition. But it's one of those things where I'm like, man, there's a whole other story here that I would love to hear. And that's like, Marianne, what are your thoughts on your husband going like, I'm going to run an engraving business. Nope. I'm going to be a publisher. Nope. I'm going to go to the Arctic. Like, see ya. I'm like, is this borderline abandonment? Because he didn't stay home long ever when he would come back. The longest was like that 2-year stretch. And then it was like, I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to know in some ways because, like, I mean, there are still people who like are in the military and are deployed. We know a couple of people that are in lengthy times apart because of jobs,
mm-hmm.
you know, in today's world. And like the 19th century had more things like that in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild to consider. I also, you will laugh at me. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Geography laughing.
Okay. Well, I mean, I had some embarrassing geography laughing that I told you earlier. So go ahead.
Well, as I was trying to like look at maps and like really get my handle on, okay, where exactly was he on the northwest side of the Greenland shore, etc. I literally was like, wow, Iceland is right there. And I know this sounds silly, but in my head, Iceland is just always a little farther.
Mm-hmm.
Farther east than I think it is.
No, oh, yeah.
That's all. Which is a nice way to say, hey, we're going to Iceland.
We are going to Iceland. Still very excited about this.
Yeah, we're going to go to Iceland this November. If you are interested, it's November 2nd to the 8th. You can learn more at defineddestinations.com if you want to go with us. It's going to be great. I love Iceland. We've said it many times. Tracy and I have each been on separate trips, and I think we're both very excited to go back. There's a lot of fun stuff planned. And then I'm hoping it's an interesting trip because we don't have as much downtime in the schedule as we have on some other trips, but you better believe.
Yeah.
I'm going to go find my favorite hot dogs because Iceland has some great hot dogs.
Right.
And I have, you know, some, I'm going to drink some Brennevin in some places. There's a Lebowski bar.
Yes.
That is amazing. And I'm going there again. I'm just going to make it happen.
That's okay. Yeah, you and I had a conversation when we first looked at the itinerary about how there was a bit less downtime than we've had on other trips. But it's partly because, unlike other trips where we have always been in a city, part of this trip is farther away from, and so they're like, it's not like when you're in Barcelona and you could just say, oh, there's this historic house right here that I'm going to go to for the whole morning. A lot more of the things where we will be outside of Reykjavik, like you would need conveyance to get there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which will be our bus.
Reykjavik is very walkable, but once we're outside of that area, it gets a little bit trickier.
Yeah.
Which I'm still very excited to go there for. Reasons.
Yes. I have a lot of excitement for a lot of reasons.
Very excited. You know, none of us are going to hopefully have any horrible incidents or get poisoned by arsenic.
Yes. And, you know, hopefully if there's any volcano happening, it will be a volcano that is not threatening anyone or disrupting things at that time.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, have acquaintances at this point in Iceland, and I have reached out to them whenever there's been news, and it's all kind of like, no, everything's safe. All the animals got evacuated. We're good. We're used to this. We have plans in place now.
I really felt like when we were in Iceland back in 2016, it did feel like people were very pragmatic about the idea of volcanic activity.
Yes, 100%. I would concur. Anyway, that's Charles Francis Hall.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
One of our episodes this week was on Götz von Berlichingen, which I have not pronounced exactly like German speakers say it, also called Götz of the Iron Hand. And here's the story of the journey of research into this. So a lot of the time when I am sort of doing a gut check of, is there enough information on somebody to do a podcast on them? Do a basic Google search. A lot of times when it's somebody lesser known, a lot of the results will be websites that I would not necessarily use as like a source for the episode, but I've at least heard of. So for someone like Götz von Berlichingen, that might be something like the website Badass of the Week, right? I at least know what this podcast is. And so I had bookmarked a bunch of articles. I was going back to them for sort of round two of actually reading them. And there was one that was one of the longer articles that I had bookmarked. And I was like, this article just at a glance looks legit. What is this website, though? I've never heard of this website. And something about, I forgot the name of the little icon that shows up in the browser bar. I was like, something about this icon is wrong to me. So I go up to, like, you know, I just delete the part of the URL that is the article to get, like, to the main site. And I was like, this looks suspicious. It was just the entry page. I clicked into the entry page and I was like, oh, this is Holocaust denial. Not Holocaust denial as in the Holocaust didn't happen, which it absolutely did. The Holocaust happened. It was more like the real victims were the Germans who were ethnically cleansed. And I was just like, oh, this is not, no, I'm not using this as a source.
Right.
The vibe that I got from this is that this was somebody's personal project that person had then sold to someone else. The person who bought it is described in various news reporting as a far-right extremist who was convicted of child sexual exploitation in 2022.
Yuck.
And I was like, absolutely not. Not only that, I'm going through my browser history and deleting all of that because I do not want programmatic ads targeting me based on all of this. So I went back to doing research. And fairly late in the process, I was like, it is weird to me that I can't find an English language version of this. It seems like something somebody would have translated into English. I found a number of different, like, German language editions. I don't read German, though. And I went to WorldCat, put in, you know, Götz von Berlichingen autobiography, and set the language to English. And this book came up that was just published within the last few years that wasn't in almost any libraries. And I was like, something is weird to me. Something's weird here.
Right.
So I Googled the name of the publisher, and it is a publisher that publishes just straight up white nationalism, works by Hitler, works by other Nazis. And that's when I said, Holly, I have a weird thing to talk through in this episode because there have been people we've talked about before who are people that were kind of appropriated by white nationalists. So people like Emily Hobhouse, her work in South Africa got kind of co-opted by white nationalists, white South African nationalists, to sort of like build a story of like white people being the real victims in South Africa. If we were going to never talk about things that were appropriated by white nationalists, we could just never talk about the entire Viking era or medieval Britain, because that's also been like co-opted by white nationalists to kind of tell a completely false story about like a totally white society, neither of which those were. So you and I talked about it a little bit, and I was like, okay, I think what I'm going to do is we're going to do the episode and we're going to talk about all this. But if I find anything in the research that like raises any other suspicions for me, I'm out on this.
Right.
Because it, my sense of this, having tried to look into it, is that he is somebody that was sort of co-opted by white nationalists because of this sort of like German freedom fighter fictionalized version of him, and the fact that there was an SS Panzergrenadier unit named after him in World War II. Also, the idea of the Iron Hand, that sure does lend itself to some Nazi imagery. But reasons that I wanted to continue to talk about him, one were like, we haven't talked that much about the transition from medieval to Renaissance Europe. He had a lot of interesting things that happened in his life that were things we had never really talked about. Like, we never talked about the Swabian League. We don't have that much about the Holy Roman Empire. And we don't have a lot that's about disability that far back in history.
Correct.
Most of our disability history is a lot more recent. And a lot of that has to do with, like, what the expectations that societies have put on disabled people. And a lot of times disabled people just being written out of history.
Yeah, they are historically not considered worthy of being part of the historical record.
Right,
which is
right.
A problem.
And, you know, a lot of times in the time they were living, sort of forced into the background by societies that were like, we don't even want to see disabled people. So being able to talk about somebody who had a disability and was living in the 16th century, I felt like was important. And so all of that landed on me being like, hey, we're going to do this episode. And also acknowledge all of that. I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper,
You're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
One other thing I did want to say is a lot of the development of prosthetics, especially like limb prosthetics in the U.S. and Europe, has followed war and battlefield injuries that soldiers have sustained, right? So a lot of prosthetics development basically follows warfare. Vast majority of prosthetics users in the U.S. and Europe are not military veterans. Like, there's a whole sort of stereotype isn't exactly right. There are proportionately, significant numbers of disabled veterans who have had some kind of an amputation. But in terms of like the whole of people who have had a limb amputated and may or may not now want a prosthesis, like way outnumbered by people who like this amputation did not happen in any kind of combat. So I just want to say that.
Yeah. I have a peppy thing that we can...
I'm so happy.
Which will be unsurprising when I say what I'm going to say, because it's very Holly-centric. There are a lot of really, really interesting things going on in the Venn diagram overlap of people often who themselves wear prosthetic pieces and the art world.
Okay.
And there are a lot of very cool things being made.
Uh-huh.
And one of my favorites, I totally want to give a shout out. It is this guy, Trace, who he is on both TikTok and Instagram. His TikTok handle is Eat Pray Nub. And he designs and 3D prints these incredibly cool prostheses, many of which are for cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of which are just for fun, and they're mm-hmm. very, very beautifully designed, and he's amazing. Like, he did one that turned his arm into a candy cane. He does a lot of, like, pieces that work for cosplay things, like Iron Man arms and stuff like that.
Nice.
But what I really love the most is that he printed himself a prosthesis that has a Lego hand on the end of it, and then printed Lego accessories that he can put in it. And
so
it's
fun.
Just the smartest and most charming engineering going on. And
yeah.
I love it. And he's very funny. So if you want to see some really cool art that is also kind of tongue in cheek in many ways, like there's a lightsaber one that's really cool. Check out his stuff. He's really incredible. There's, oh my gosh, the Triton arm, like the Aquaman style, you know, not quite a trident, but he has that hooky thing from like some of the Aquaman stuff, is gorgeous. Like, he just makes beautiful things, and I love
when
people are making beautiful art and sharing it. So Trace, I kind of love your work a lot. And he's very, like I said, very, very funny. So I just love that there is this whole, we talked specifically about a lot of people and engineers who mean very well creating prosthetic pieces that aren't the people that would be wearing them. And then there's not input necessarily from those people. So I really like that this is like homegrown, a person who actually understands how these implements work and need to fit and need to be comfortable for him, just making his own on his 3D printer. I think it's the coolest thing on earth.
Somebody that I follow on TikTok, who I haven't seen as much content from lately, and I don't know if it's because of the algorithm or just she hasn't been as active lately. Her name is Alexis, and her account is called Stump Kitchen.
Yes!
And she was born with a limb difference. And so she's done some videos that are sort of how she does various things, like various household or grooming things or whatever, using either one of a couple of different prostheses that she has or her stump. And she also does this stump cosplay where she makes up her stump to look like different characters.
I haven't seen those. I've seen so some of her kitchen stuff, but I have not seen those.
Yeah. So like just looking at what's on her profile right now, she's got one that is the Grinch. There's one that is Arthur. I feel like I saw a Pikachu one time. She will just, she'll make up her whole limb. She calls it her stump. I don't know if that word is comfortable for everyone right. who has a limb difference, but like, that's what she calls it. And, she tells stories about like when she was a child and her sister who did not have a limb difference, like sort of made a personality for her arm. It's I love her content. And your what you just described reminded me of it a little bit. I also just realized that I left out one of the wilder moments in my research thing that was not about white nationalism at all, which is that I had found a reference to a book that was described in the catalog as in English that was Gutz von Berlichingen's autobiography. And they had it in the university library where my spouse works. And so I said, can you please get this book for me? He said, yes. And was like, something is weird about this catalog entry. I was like, I know, I don't know what to tell you. It's my only option for getting this. So it goes to the shelf, described in the catalog as being in English, but it turned out only the intro to the book was in English. This book is from back in the 1950s. And it turned out the reason that the catalog entry seemed a little bit off is that there was no barcode to check it out. It wasn't in the system at all. Mm-hmm. So when he took it up to the circulation desk to check it out, they were like, oh, wow, this is a whole, we have a process for this.
There's no mark record for this idea.
Yeah, I need to get someone who knows how to do it. And so now I have this book still, which he brought home in a plastic bag because it is so fragile, along with a piece of paper with the numbers for the barcode written out in longhand so that when it is returned to the library, the barcode can be affixed to it.
Right. I bet they're also going to do an update on the record. So somebody will pop out their AACR2 manual for my library people. You just perked up, I know. And then have to do a new version of the MARC record, I'm sure.
Yeah. And there might be a little repair worked into it if that's feasible. Because it's a very delicate book. Anyway, that is the whole saga of the story for this week's podcast. Research from me. Happy Friday. I was like, what day is it? That was a whole journey, and then I forgot what day it is. Happy Friday. We'll be back with a Saturday Classic tomorrow. We will have a brand new episode on Monday, and whatever's coming up this next couple of days for you, I hope it's all great. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.